I'm going to be honest. The one word I would never use to describe myself is sporty. But since women's footy hit the big time, I've been truly excited about it. Of course, it's great that elite female athletes are now able to perform at the top echelon of their sport. But when I go along as a fan, there's an even more really cool aspect. Being in a space with so many out gay women, both on the field and in the crowd. And as I walk around at training today, it's clear I'm not the only one that feels this way.
I actually grew up in Western Australia, which doesn't have a very big queer community.
This is Tara. She only recently moved to Melbourne, but found women's footy in her small Western Australian town.
I knew this girl who was a year older than me in high school, and she was very out. And one time, her and her girlfriend invited me to a women's football match. And I went and I sat in the bleachers, and I noticed that all of the women around me were gay, and that all of the players, like most of them, were gay, and everybody knew it. But it was just like a really nice, safe space for everybody to gather, and you just watch footy, and people could talk and communicate about something that wasn't like about how shit it was to be in a town where no one else was gay and your parents like were a bit ashamed of that, I guess.
Tara says she identifies as gay, gender fluid.
And although I'm not a footy player, I am a WAG and proud of it.
A WAG, a wife or girlfriend of a high-profile professional athlete. Tara's girlfriend Bron just started playing for Melbourne Uni's beginners team. And like Tara, she loves the queer aspect of the game.
When I went to the first women's AFL team, match, Collingwood and Carlton, I remember looking in the crowd and being like, there are so many Melbourne queers here. And like, I'm very comfortable going to the AFL, and I go with my partner and we hold hands and kid, like, we don't really give a shit. But to look out to an audience and be like, this is much more queer and diverse and female or gender non-normative, it's like heartening that you're like, this traditionally male space of sport does have all these diverse people that are looking for a way to express themselves and to participate very visibly, and they're not afraid to do it here, whereas they might be afraid to do it at the MCG or at Etihad.
So just how gay is women's footy?
There's a lot of gay women playing football in the AFLW.
Also in the bleachers is Wendy. Her niece plays for both the Melbourne Uni Muggers and the AFLW. But Wendy herself played in one of the first ever VFLW teams.
The league at that time, yeah, we did have one heterosexual in our team. All of the rest of us were lesbian, and it was just great. It was like finding your people, and like, it sounds funny that we wore Blundstones and Levi's then, and it was just like a uniform, and it's just finding the place where you really belong.
The uniforms may have changed. Other things are pretty similar.
I would suggest something like 85 to 90% of the women playing football identify as same-sex attracted. So it is very high, and I think, therefore, you know, a highly significant part of our game. I'm Emma Phillips. I'm now 40 years old. I identify as lesbian, and I started playing footy in 2000 with Melbourne Uni. So in terms of that gay culture and how present it was in football when I joined, it was enormous. I mean, it was a major, major part of the game. And look, I loved it.
Without a doubt, life is easier for gay people these days. And society now seems to get just how important it is for us to be out wherever we are. But something straight people might not understand is how special and rare it is for us as a minority to experience a place where we are the majority.
Stepping into footy was like, it was great. I mean, you know, you're existing in a place with an unusual amount of gay women who hang out 3 to 4 times a week. So it can be sometimes a natural place to meet people. I guess it's sort of like how straight people start dating at work. I don't know.
God, it's like an alternative universe where it's like being a straight person.
Exactly.
But a gay one.
Just everywhere you walk around.
Ash is 30 and has been playing for the Muggers for 8 years. She now identifies as
physically bi, emotionally gay.
But that was not the case when Ash first came to the sport. A country girl from Albury.
when I moved to Melbourne, I had a boyfriend. And so when I came to the club, I identified as straight. But I met a girl at football, as is the old story. And then I ended up dating her for a couple of years. But I definitely think the football environment, it is an environment where you could think about how you felt about women, and it wasn't an unusual place to do that. It is an environment where people feel like they have an opportunity to do that in a safe space.
So are you saying that football made you gay?
I would think I was gay from when I was about 14 or 15. It was something I thought about every day from the age of 14. I definitely wouldn't have met my first girlfriend if I hadn't have been at footy. I would have come out eventually, but it definitely gave me a little shove out of the closet.
I joke with Ash, but of course, the idea that you can turn people gay is ridiculous. What you can do is help give people who are closeted the support they need to know it's okay to come out. You can also help queer people who are already out feel that being gay is not something to be ashamed of. Emma has played with Melbourne Uni for 17 years, but she's been playing team sports since she was a little kid.
I started playing cricket when I was 12, and there were about, sort of, from memory, about four or five of us, the oldies called the kids. And we were in a cricket club environment then that was made up of a lot of what we saw as older women. They're probably just in their early 20s, but we thought they were a lot older. And those women were, for the most part, from my memory, identified as lesbians. But there was really a culture of secrecy around that. You know, we knew, and they sort of knew we knew, but we really distinctly felt like they wanted to protect us from that. And I remember so often having, you know, social occasions after games where there'd be a couple sitting together and, you know, one woman would reach out and touch the other's leg or a hand or something, and another kind of, an elder would come over and just stop them and just kind of keep it away from the kids kind of thing. And I remember feeling at the time, it felt like, you know, something to be ashamed of. And as I grew through my teen years and became closer to what my sexuality was and quite open with it, I felt a little bit of anger towards those women for, you know, behaving in that way. I feel like they did that. Well, in fact, I know they did that because they were afraid that parents would pull us kids out of the game, you know, for fear that they would turn us, you know, they would turn us gay.
Emma says when she found footy, the culture was completely different.
It was kind of a revelation in the sense of the gay culture within women's sport, because it was much more open, you know, and we didn't have, there were no significantly older women. It was us that were kind of carrying that flame, if you like. It was easy and open. There was an open dialogue. Conversations were very straightforward. It became clear to me very, very quickly that I was involved in the gay sport in town, that's for sure.
Emma is very clear that the reason she has pulled on the boots for all these years is first and foremost because she loves football. She loves to play the sport. She says when she started playing, the public fixated on the player's sexuality as if it was the only reason they wanted to be part of the AFL. This fixation, Emma explains, meant lots of women didn't want to talk about their sexuality at all. But now she feels players can be respected as athletes, but still at the same time be able to celebrate this unique footy culture.
Isn't something we speak about very often, and I think we don't like to kind of privilege it in our conversations because the football is first, you know, and I appreciate that the football is first, but it's there, and it is that real point of difference from the men's game. I've no doubt that there are some gay men playing AFL football, but nothing like the numbers that we have, so there's not that constant, engagement of interpersonal relationships or negotiations of interpersonal relationships. I think it's a very rich part of our game as well. I think it's a real cause for celebration, actually.
What Emma's referring to is the fact that because there are so many gay women in the league, there are many gay relationships. And when one of the major stories in the paper celebrating the new league was about a couple who played on different teams, Emma, for the first time, saw herself.
It was just this really wonderful and unique story of these two women who, you know, share a bed and also play football against each other at the highest possible level. And it's just not a story we have seen in football before at all. And I remember it was on the back page of The Age and the front of The Sport, and turned the page over and saw this thing, and just saw my life on the back page of the Sport, you know, and just had this incredible sense of validation that, you know, that the outside world could sort of see for a moment who I am, if you like. It was just this sense that who I am and what I've been involved in so heavily might actually be becoming normalised and accepted. I think there was a sense from that story that there's a sort of a, this was a, you know, a one-off, or there were not too many of these kinds of instances of women who were together, but, you know, playing across different teams. But actually it's really, really common.
Emma says this culture is tricky to negotiate. All her significant relationships over the last two decades have been with women in the league, which comes with its own unique challenges.
I know a story of a coach who said that, you know, he was asked once what his greatest challenge would be if he had this premiership kind of team and they were looking the goods, you know, what would be the greatest challenge to the team or the greatest threat? And he said, without missing a beat, he said, a relationship breakdown.
Despite the extra emotional work the social part of the game demands, all the women I talk to say they really appreciate that it exists. But they also say that as the sport is being professionalised, things might start to change.
I think it's in some ways a double-edged sword, because the increasing professionalisation of the game is obviously a wonderful thing for women in the sport. You know, it's bringing opportunities that didn't exist before. But I do worry a little bit that there is, you know, along with a sort of a corporatisation that inevitably sits alongside AFL football, there's a middling that happens, and with the middling, you know, we have that kind of a particular look for the footballer, you know, blonde ponytailed, straight-looking girl, and probably a particular lifestyle. And I think there's a reasonable chance that there could be some closeting or some push for closeting going on. Not that I think that's an active conversation anywhere, but I think there is a risk here, I think, in terms of how women feel or how open they can be in those spaces.
Laura is the Muggers Club president. She's 26, joined when she was 12, and identifies as straight. She too has some questions about how things might start to evolve as the women's game is more closely compared to the men's game, where there are currently no out gay players.
Do I think that the culture of male closetedness in the men's competition will impact the females' response or the AFLW's response in the long run? Yes and no. I think that AFL clubs are becoming more educated and understanding of a whole variety of sort of social issues and things like that. Is there a stigma about players identifying as same-sex attracted and being worried about the response from the community or from the football community, fans, etc.? Yes is the answer. I think there definitely has to be an undertone of that, because I think naturally the female players compare their competition to the male competition, I would imagine, just in terms of, you know, how many teams there are and where they play. And I think it's just because the men's, or sort of our male counterparts in the AFL, there's sort of nobody that's identifying publicly as same-sex attracted, as far as I understand. So, yes, I think there has to be some undertone of that. And I also think it would exist because it lacks public leadership at the top. So the top, I mean, the long-standing male competition that has existed for many more years than the women's national game. So if there was a really strong figure or a player or a personality that was really sort of comfortable and public and out there, we might be having a different conversation.
So there are concerns around the place about this major shift. But everyone I speak to says that so far, mostly they've only seen benefits from the launch of the AFLW. Emma says there are many types of women being represented in the media coverage of the league. Laura says there are now a lot more women coming to the game to be top athletes, so it's really lifting the skill level. And Ash has an inkling that rather than the men's game straightening out the women's league actually might queer up the men's.
Do you think it will help the men's game to become more open?
I think it starts a really important discussion always find it really funny when there's an article about someone on Facebook coming out as gay, someone famous or something like that. And inevitably there is someone who says, who cares? You know, they comment and they say, who cares about someone being gay? Or who cares about Erin Phillips kissing her wife when she won the, you know, the women's first Brownlow? But the fact is, people like me care. People, you know, kids in country areas who are same-sex attracted are 14 times more likely to try and commit suicide than their straight peers. And those kids want to see people in the media that they can relate to. So I think that's the really important part of this, is it starts a conversation where those people who are saying who cares need to sit back and realise what an absolute luxury it is to be able to say who cares and not genuinely understand why it's important to someone. So I think that if it's starting that sort of conversation, then hopefully that pushes us all forward in a good way.